My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Cause when you're all grown up and you're falling apart, you don't hide in your bed, you just cry in your car. Cause when he breaks your heart on a Sunday, you still got a Minnesota on Monday. I'm gonna be honest, as it kind of is the rule now, I think I made up that melody a little bit.
I like it.
It's more like inspired by Monday by Taylor Edwards instead of like that was actually Monday by Taylor Edwards. Mm. But you know what? It had the feel. It was like just different enough that she couldn't sue me. Mm. There you go. Hi, everyone. My name is Ian Allred, and I am Minnesoting on a Monday. Just kidding. I'm Minnesoting on a Sunday because this is being posted on a Monday. And I am a mini gleek. Gleek. Ooh. I'm the only gleek of me. Darn, that's the gleek of me.
Girl, there ain't no I in Gleek, but you know there is a Glee.
Glee!
Strike the band up, 1, 2, 3. And my name is Zayna Knatzer, and I'm a mini Gleek. I'm a me apologist, and that's the truth. That's God's honest.
I think that song is fun.
Right? You know what else is fun? Spelling is fun. She fully cut that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. She got embarrassed. She said, you guys, I was joking about that one. She said, I was just playing around. I don't know. I do understand if, like, there is an artist who just all of their songs are fluff wanting to be like, oh, I want something deeper. But when there are artists who, like, release plenty of songs that have a deeper meaning, they're allowed to be like, and this is fun. Like, this one is just a good time.
I know. And that's the thing is, I don't know. That song was specifically written for like children and like, you know.
She doesn't say, hey, young adults, spelling is fun.
She
says, hey, kids, spelling is fun.
I think it's sweet. And I think it's silly. And I totally agree. Like, girlfriend is the Shakespeare of our generation. She can afford to like give us a fluffy song and then say, hey, kids, spelling is fun. Have you seen stuff about the Eras Tour?
No.
No? Nothing?
That's shocking to you? I've seen that, like, she dives and, like, a video of her swims under the stage.
I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to wear. It's kind of, you know, everyone's being so cute, but it's going to be, like, late May. And I don't know if you remember, but late May here in New York City was hot as balls.
Is lovely. Is beautiful.
Everyone's, like, wearing fur coats right now. But what's it going to be like in 2 months when I go?
That's the last 48 hours. God, we can't talk about the weather. Never mind.
I love talking about the weather. I don't know what's people's problem about talking about the weather.
You and I can talk about the weather. When you listen to a podcast, are you like, gee, I hope these two hosts talk about the weather in the city that they're living right now.
Specifically in the time that they record this podcast.
We talked about the weather in Old Dog, New Tricks. And when I was editing, I was like, I have to take this out. Like, why did I think people would want to hear us talk for 6 minutes about how long winter is lasting in New York this year? We're not talking about the weather. Let's get into these emails. It's not happening.
Rick, after so long, so many clouds, us getting some sunshine, that's amazing. Okay, fine.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to your minisode on Old Dog New Tricks. Minisode 102. Can you believe it? We got some emails, baby. Some people had some thoughts about this episode. And they're not about the weather.
We don't know that for sure. Let's check.
You never know.
Up first, we've got Brooke.
What's up, nerds? So here in my hometown the last few days, it's been really cold, and I'm wondering when summer is going to start. People are still wearing coats every day, and we're almost in April. That's wild.
It's like my eyes are working.
I'm here to give my expert sleuthing in regards to this episode. Not to get too much into the drama and rumors surrounding the actual cast, but you mentioned that Santana straight up disappears from the rest of the season after this and only comes back in season 6 as a guest star, and that Naya writes about this episode specifically in her book. So I thought I'd share something I noticed in regards to all of that. If you look closely in just about any scene with Rachel and Santana, they are 100% using body doubles as much as they can get away with. If Rachel is looking at Santana and we see an over-the-shoulder shot from Santana's POV, it's most definitely Naya's body double we're looking over to see Rachel's reaction, and vice versa. They were only in the same shot maybe less than a handful of times in this entire episode, and it is blatantly obvious that the girls are fighting! Okay, love you, bye! XOXO, Brooke. This is something that when I was watching the episode, I was like, they're showing these two on camera together very infrequently for the fact that they're sharing a storyline. And I did clock that, but I wasn't sure enough to bring it up on the podcast. But sure, since you also clocked it, I feel much more confident that, yeah, I do feel like they probably were not together.
The girls are fighting. What's the tea?
It reminds me of watching season 2 of High School Musical, the musical, the series, right after Joshua Bassett and Olivia Rodrigo had broken up, but their characters were still dating in the show. And I would watch it with my friend, and we would keep trying to point out all the times that clearly Olivia was alone in the room, or Joshua was alone in the room, or they were using a body double, because they would only ever use a wide shot like once per scene really quickly. Right. And we're like, oh, I'm pretty sure that they are just speaking to the director for most of this because it's so awkward having them together. Ooh, girls are fighting.
The girls are fighting. What's the tea? That makes sense because I have listened to Sour and she was feeling so bad. I can't imagine.
So, yeah, I kind of got this vibe, too. And since you pointed it out, I feel more confident that it was not just a fluke on my end. And it probably is what was going on.
Thank you, Brooke. Really appreciate it. Up next, we've got a message from Morgan.
Hey, Ian and Lena. My name is Morgan, longtime listener who hasn't emailed since season 2. Blame it on the alcohol, I believe. I'm excited to be emailing about Old Dog New Tricks. This is one of my hidden gem episodes of season 5. I absolutely love it. It's definitely my guilty pleasure episode. It was also one of my grandma's favorite episodes of Glee. Glee was both of our favorite show once we discovered it. So the series, and especially this episode, hold a special place in my heart. On the Sam Sadies of it all, I agree with Mercedes that they should not have kept the dog. However, I do not agree about all of her reasons why. My family is a firm believer that you should not get a pet if you do not have the capacity to fully commit to the pet. That's the exact reason we never got another dog after we put down my childhood dog. With everyone working in our house, it wouldn't be fair to the dog. With the crazy schedules that Sam and Mercedes' careers have, on top of not having an easy place like a backyard for the dog to let out energy, it would not be fair to McConaughey. I also agree with Sam and how he felt about what Mercedes said. He genuinely did mature faster because of his circumstances in high school, but that doesn't mean he is ready for the responsibilities that come with having a dog. Now to nitpick a little. I cannot stand the way that Peter Pan at the nursing home gets changed. When I worked on my senior musical for college, when we were trying to make some changes on the script, it took forever to hear back on if they were approved. While this is a show we should not have done, we at least were trying to change things the right way. The way the script and music is changed is quite literally days before opening night would quite literally not be legal. That is unless they somehow got the approval from the licensing company, which I doubt the writers would even think of. Even if they did, I doubt there would have been enough time to correspond with the licensing company. While I have no idea if that bothered literally anyone else, I needed a place to get it off my chest. Anyway, thank you for reading my scrambled up thoughts on the show, and thank you for hosting this podcast. You two are a huge inspiration to me as someone who has also graduated in the middle of the pandemic with a degree in theater and hopes to also move to New York to pursue a career in performing. It is so inspiring to hear about your adventures in New York and all of the acting jobs you've booked. Please keep up all the great work. Also, the rain yesterday was such a blessing. We've really been needing it. Much love, Morgan.
Whoa, Morgan. Thanks for getting so real with us on the rain.
It really, like, it's been dry. Like, I've been stressed about it. It was, and it really cooled everything off. It really cooled everything off.
Honestly, thank goodness.
Yeah. Oh,
the harvest will be bountiful this October. Oh my gosh, that's too funny. Thanks, Morgan, for talking about the weather. I'm sorry, that really tickled me.
Something I thought of when I was reading this email. Is it ever confirmed that they're doing the Rodgers and Hammerstein version of Peter Pan? Because we never hear them sing. Like, I mean, Kurt does say that he was obsessed with the Mary Martin video as a kid.
Yeah.
And that is Rodgers and Hammerstein. So I guess it is. Because I was like, Peter Pan's in the public domain. So maybe they literally just wrote the seniors wrote a play of Peter Pan that they're doing. Yeah, and then Kurt changed it. And, you know, they wrote it and it's a public domain character. So who cares? Also, is Peter Pan in the public domain? I truly don't know. I just kind of assumed.
It's like, what, 1910?
Yeah, the novel is in the public domain. Yes. The play is in copyright until this December.
Whoa.
So everyone get ready. January 2024, we're all doing Peter Pan for free.
For free.
But that's... But that is the play version that J.M. Barrie wrote. I don't know if it says... Google says the play and stage adaptions is in copyright. I don't think it includes the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical still. But if you want to get your hands on the J.M. Barrie script, you can do it for free, baby.
Oh my goodness.
Anyways, I honestly don't know if anyone, truly think that they would get away with this. It's like a nursing home. Like, I feel like MTI would have to... It is... You are correct, Morgan. The rain was a blessing. And also, this is quite literally illegal to do.
Yes.
But I don't think that MTI... I feel like it'd be pretty heartless of them to be like, oh, this nursing home performance that you're not making any money off of. You're just doing it because, like, you used to be performers and you're trying
MTI
to relive your glory days.
Crazy sometimes.
We're hitting you with a lawsuit. That is true. I do... know someone who, like, their high school changed something, and I don't know if it was MTI, but whoever the distributor was like, you are banned from doing any shows from us now. It was like, it was a high school production.
When I was in high school, like, local schools would change things apart in shows specifically to make them more, like, family friendly. I don't remember what the show was, but I was like, I'm calling MTI. And I, like, sincerely, like, drafted up an email to send to MTI to, like, rat out, like, these high schools around me. Because I was like, this is fucked up. So I think like this, too.
My theater that I did growing up, we changed things all the time. I, like, did not, I didn't know about, like, licensing rights until I was older, because truly we did the Sound of Music. I may have talked about this before. We did the Sound of Music and the director was like, the script is better in the movie, which, I mean, to be fair, is kind of true.
True.
And so he just watched the movie and the scenes that he liked better, he typed them up and printed them and inserted them into the script. And then he killed Rolf. He had Rolf get shot. And he was like, we're doing this. And we sure did it. And we performed it for a month and no one ever found out.
Rolf is a dumb sellout. So cool.
Yeah, truly.
Who did you play in Sound of Music?
I was Friedrich, baby. I'm Friedrich. I'm 13. I'm a boy. So you are correct, Morgan. It is illegal. I also truly and fully believe that it would have happened and no one ever would have found out and they would have gotten away with it. And they would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling Morgans and your stupid reign.
I also think
your stupid emails.
Is this something that Chris Colfer, not to talk about Chris Colfer in this way, is this something that Chris Colfer has ever come in contact with? Like licensing issues about plays?
I mean,
I feel like he like probably. Got this job right he out like, of high school. He's like
he
really-
did, but like, but also like, I don't know if he knows about them. I don't know if he doesn't know about them.
Yeah, that's but true.
When you're writing a script for a 45-minute episode of television, even if you know about licensing issues, are you going to spend 5 minutes of your screen time establishing that they contacted MTI and got the rights to change it? I mean, he could have like put in a line of dialogue, I guess, but...
Sure, yeah.
I just think his mind was elsewhere.
I hear that. I hear that. Also, I totally agree with you about the Sam Sadies and McConaughey of it all. I do think, like, you know, that these two are in like pretty pivotal points in their lives and careers that like keeping a dog at home by themselves would not be what would not be the move. It's not a nice thing to do to the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Morgan, thanks so much for this email and thanks so much for telling us about the weather. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Morgan. Up next, we've got a message from Nicole.
Hi, guys. Loved the podcast as always. This is an episode that I always find myself defending. I think it's a very fun romp with more consistent characterization than the last three seasons. I will, however, absolutely agree that it feels like a first draft that someone with more familiarity with television should have gone through again. This episode feels like Chris specifically commenting on how Kurt is treated overall on this show, but especially his relationship with Rachel. Kurt is always the character who is there for Rachel to the detriment of his own happiness. Rachel absolutely takes him for granted, and I think Kurt calling her out on that fact is something that is absolutely warranted. I personally love that scene where Kurt actually vocalized what I wanted said as an audience member. I will say, as awkward as the hug at the end was, I still love it. I am personally a big fan of the OG NYC trio of Kurt, Rachel, and Santana. I think when utilized well, which was rare but still, it's the most entertaining dynamic of the later seasons. I love having an acknowledgement of that group for the last time and remembering that these people do care about each other. I also find myself loving specifically the supporting characters in these plot lines. Blaine, as a very minor character, allows me to be more appreciative of him, something I find harder to do when he is in the main spotlight. His scene with Kurt before Kurt's performance helping him get ready is one of my favorite Klain scenes, and I'm not even that big of a shipper. I also love Santana and Artie, who I think are the funniest in this episode. A highly underrated Artie scene was just him commenting on the Sam Sadies fight. I also love how windy it was yesterday. Personally, I am a big wind fan. The way it whips your hair back feels like you're in a music video.
Sometimes helps you walk faster.
Sometimes it pushes you.
Yeah.
Nicole, you're so right about that. Overall, character-wise and plot-wise, I like this episode more than I like most of seasons 4 and 5. I just wish Glee put more energy into making the scripts as tight as they could be. Best friend of the podcast, Nicole. Nicole, don't we all? I wish
honestly
that these writers would even read the script a second time after they wrote it.
Honestly, oh my that's goodness. The thing is, I really don't think they do. Nicole, I like completely agree. In like a big chunk of episodes, this is the best characterization we've seen. And I think that like Chris himself commenting on how his character is treated, and especially with Rachel, this show just like leaves especially Kurt to the wayside and a lot of these characters. And I think sometimes they bring new writers in who maybe don't really get what's like who these characters are about. And I just think like Chris, more than anyone, loves this show and like loves these characters and like wrote from a place of, I get this. And, you know, it's cool. I don't know. I really like it.
I just feel like the characters on the show are very often treated as a means to an end.
Sure.
In the sense that they're like, we want to cover these topics. We want to sell these songs. So all of these characters are pawns in our game to achieve that goal.
Yeah.
Which we've mentioned this before many times. And especially with like tribute episode stuff. that it feels like kind of the topic or the issue they want to talk about is decided on first and then the characters are plugged in, which I think you can do and can be done well.
And plot but forward when is that's, good,
But when that's happening every single week, it starts to, like, the characters start to get very inconsistent and start to be kind of thrown to the wayside. And this episode feels very character first. And I like that.
I like that too.
And I like that.
I like it too. Also, Nicole, agree on the wind. Love the wind. Lots of fun. But it is why I had to grow up my bangs. Wind. Crazy mistress she is. Up next, we've got a message from Emily.
Hey guys, it's Emily She, Her from London, UK.
International listener!
Can you believe all this rain we're having across the pond? It's insane. Like you guys, I don't have massively overwhelming feelings about this episode. There are a couple of things I don't like, but there's also a couple of things I'm glad were included. This episode isn't super memorable, like you guys said. And I think it would have been better suited if it was a mid-season episode. However, in Chris Colfer's defense, I do have a mini theory as to why this episode was such a one-off. So without spoiling too much here, there's an original song in season 6 called This Time, which was written by Darren Criss for the show, and I'd say is quite a character-driven song. However, when he was writing it, Darren was only told which character would be singing it and was given one line of context about the scene it'd be featured in. He wasn't allowed to know any other plot details or information at all, so he had to go in blind. And I wonder if a similar thing happened with Chris here. That would explain to me why it doesn't quite flow very well. It feels a bit like he was asked to write an episode that could be easily adapted to roughly fit anywhere. To me, the fact that the producers let Chris experiment and write the penultimate episode is a sign that they don't really mind too much about how this season ends up. I have nothing to back this up, but I wonder if they knew that the tone of season 6 would be shifting slightly and were already having ideas as to where that could go. So they weren't too stressed about season 5's ending because they knew that none of it would really matter. As for the plot of the episode, I'm not super comfortable with the way older people are portrayed here. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like this episode is quite patronizing towards the residents. It's a mindset a lot of people have and a common trope in a lot of media, but the way the older characters are compared to children and paired with storylines about cute dogs throughout this episode doesn't quite sit right with me. Elderly people are still people. They make choices throughout their lives, sometimes very bad ones that have consequences. They don't just get forgiven because of their age. It feels to me like this episode is leaning towards saying that elderly people are so sweet, innocent, and childlike that placing them in assisted living is the same as abandoning a cute dog in a shelter and is therefore a bad thing for someone to do to them. Also, this episode, as well as so many other stories about older people, makes it seem like most elderly people are sad about being old and want to be a kid again, when that just isn't always the case. There are so many people out there who either are very happy about reaching a certain age and having lots of experiences, or simply aren't bothered about their age and just want to keep living life as they have been. This isn't a major criticism, because I think what we got out of their production was sweet and fun, but I do wish we saw a bit more of a range in the older character storylines, especially since they cast big actors who definitely could have handled it rather than being in the background. Despite that mini rant, there's a lot of character stuff I really do like in this episode. I love the Santana plot. I agree with you guys, it was such a smart choice from Chris. I love the scene between Kurt and Blaine before the show. It just feels so refreshing to have a scene dedicated to them that is just them existing together and not tied to any drama. I always like to appreciate scenes like this in any show, because though I love big emotional performances, I think a sign of really good acting and writing is when you have a small, unimportant scene like this that comes across as natural, which this one does, and it feels really sweet. I also really, really love the Sam stuff in this episode, specifically the conversation he has with Mercedes where he stands up for himself. I know Sam's dyslexic, and I can't remember if he canonically has ADHD, but as someone who does, I like the headcanon that he does too, and him talking about the tasks he hasn't been able to get done yet makes me think this even more. I really like him saying that just because his brain works a little differently, it doesn't mean that he can't be responsible, and he shouldn't be patronized for the fact that he goes about life a little differently to what a, quote, responsible adult would do. I think it's a really interesting way to counteract the dumbed-down image of Sam that the writers have been pushing recently, which is a testament to how well Chris knows these characters. Anyway, Loved hearing you guys talk about this episode as always. I'm rewatching Glee with my brother, who's watching it for the first time, and we're just about to get to the Hurt Locker Part 1, and I'm so excited. Yes. Can't wait for you guys to get to that one, too. Love you guys. From Emily, she, her.
Love that. Emily, I love this email, and I especially really love the stuff you're saying about elderly people specifically. I feel like I've been thinking about that a lot recently, like, you know, how society treats especially the elderly as like past human people, when it's like, no, they're just people. I feel like I saw Kimberly Akimbo, the Broadway musical, the other day, and they had like a 75-year-old woman playing a 15-year-old, and I feel like it really, I like, opened my eyes, I think, in a way that a piece of media hasn't in a minute, where like people, like elderly people, are sincerely just people. And it's just like our perception of them that, like, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting. I feel like I've been thinking about this exact thing a lot recently.
I totally agree with what you said, Lena. And I totally agree with what you said, Emily, about, you know, there's all different kinds of young people, there's all different kinds of old people. It's not like, well, when you hit 70, you're a sweet, precious little angel.
Yeah.
As far as like the storyline being really focused on, oh, they're young again and they're kids again, I understand how that can be kind of eye roll, in the sense that like it can come across as patronizing to be like, don't you wish you were young again, old person?
Yeah.
However, I just feel like in this one-off episode where the plotline is Peter Pan and it is kind of like sharing screen time with other plot lines, it does make sense to me to have it just be like, to kind of paint with a broad stroke for this one plot line, because the plot of Peter Pan is you're a kid forever, and it's showing like you can be a kid forever at any age. Mm-hmm. So I understand why they went with it. I think the choice of them doing Peter Pan is cool, because it is a show that is so, it's about kids and it's about being a kid forever. And it has kind of the deeper meaning of you can be a kid forever.
Yeah.
No matter what body you are in, you can have that like youthful spirit forever.
Absolutely. Honestly, even recently, I feel like I have been doing like things recently to like specifically act like a kid, to like service my inner child. And like, I think that's good at any age, like to like, you know, feel young and free and like run around and be silly. I think that's awesome. And I'm sure that if I was even a person, a 26-year-old like I am today doing Peter Pan, I feel like that would service my inner child a lot.
Yeah,
and
like
I would
awaken
probably have
your
a lot
inner
of
child.
Fun. Honestly, it would be a lot of fun. Let's put on Peter Pan. I love it.
Okay, you got it. I mean, we wait until next year and we can do the Jay and Barry version for free. So
just a quick comment on Sam being an ADHDer. I love this. And I don't remember if they ever say it canonically, but I feel like it's almost at this point, it has to be canon. Maybe they haven't said it, but like it is like so everything about his character is like a person, like someone with ADHD. And I love it. And I love that you point this out. And you know, I think in this episode, it truly, like, he's like, it's like, just because my brain doesn't work the, like, maybe like yours does, doesn't mean I'm not responsible. And I think that's important to say. And I love that.
And also, you're talking about the writers, A, not really caring what's happening this deep into the season. That's very much
God.
The vibe.
It's so
and
the vibe.
Also, the vibe of them being like, hey, write this episode. And don't really worry about what comes before or after. Just like write this episode. Is how this how the season has been feeling a lot. Like they clearly have some threads, some like overarching plot threads that they're hanging on to. But even those plot threads are shifting so drastically episode to episode that it's like, did you know what the episode before this one was going to be when you sat down to write this one? Because it feels like you didn't.
Right.
I don't know.
Emily, thank you so much for this message. I genuinely really appreciate it. Up next, we've got a message from Misha.
Hello, Ian and Lena. What a heat wave we're having. My name is Misha, he, they, and I've been listening to and thoroughly enjoying your podcast for years. I cannot say how much I enjoy listening to your thoughts, but never wrote in because I never really knew what I could say or add. However, in last week's minisode, when the subject of what dogs you each would be came up, I knew it was my time. With years and years of hyperfixating on dogs under my belt, one of my favorite hobbies has become making slideshows listing what dog breeds my friends and characters from movies and TV shows look like. I have strong opinions on what dogs you each would be, and I also went a little off the rails and assigned dogs to a bunch of Glee characters. I've attached the PDF below, and I hope you get a kick out of it. All the best, loyal Gleek and longtime buddy of the podcast, Misha. So, I, as already mentioned, I don't know dog breeds. So I'm going to do my best to say these dog breed correctly. Any of these dogs, if you're listening, I mean no offense. I'm so sorry if I pronounced your breed wrong. Please do not send me hate mail. All right. Ian, Lena, and selected Glee characters as dogs by Misha. First up.
Yay!
Ian Allred, an Irish wolfhound.
That's so cute!
I liked the angle you took of trying to think of long, big, and tall dogs, but greyhounds, in my opinion, don't have enough fur / don't really capture your face shape and essence. Irish wolfhounds are scruffier and even taller. Ooh. Lena Knatzer, Samoyed.
I love this.
Disclaimer that I really liked your Pomeranian idea. My issue is that while you're definitely giving like some sort of fluffy, pointy ears dog, sort of catish, LOL, I feel like you need to be more to scale with Ian. Samoyeds are super sweet and sort of looked like scaled up Pomeranians.
I love it.
Rachel Berry is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. Finn Hudson, a flat-coated retriever.
I love it.
Quinn Fabre, a Saluki. Santana Lopez, a Slohi. Is that how you pronounce this?
I don't know.
Slohi, sure, Santana. I'm sorry. Brittany S. Pierce, a silken windhound. I think it's fun if all the unholy trinity are hounds. Then we got Kurt Hummel as an Abyssin hound. Blaine Anderson as a Pumi. The height difference between Kurt and Blaine is very funny to me. Sam Evans as a golden retriever. I hesitate to categorize anyone as a quote-unquote basic dog, especially a golden retriever, because I feel like it's low-hanging fruit, but this is just true.
I love that.
Mercedes Jones, a Newfoundland. Noah Puckerman, a Rhodesian Ridgeback. I hate to subject any dog to being compared to him, but fun fact, Rhodesian Ridgebacks naturally have a ridge / stripe of fur that runs down their backs that seems very Mohawkish, which is what made me choose this dog. Artie Abrams, a Patterdale Terrier. And then he even included a picture of a Patterdale whose hind legs don't work, so he has little wheels. Oh, so,
I love that.
Tina Cohen Chang, a Volpino Italiano.
Cute.
Mike Chang, a Pharaoh Hound. And then there's a picture of a Pharaoh Hound up on his hind legs, and he captioned it, he's dancing. This is my favorite one. Oh my gosh, this is my favorite one. Sugar Mata, a Shih Tzu.
Oh, look at her little bow.
And then a picture of a Commodore, which has dread-like fur, and it says, a blank slide. Who is supposed to go here?
That's so weird.
That's bizarre. There's an editing mix-up here, Misha. Will Schuster, a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. Once again, I'm sorry to this dog for drawing this comparison, but it literally has his hair pattern and texture. I tried to think of a dog for Sue, but genuinely could not come up with anything. I think she just has this essence of like being above it. Like she could never be a dog. Emma Pillsbury, a Chihuahua. Terry Schuster, a Yorkie.
That picture is so... I love it.
She's got... This Yorkie's got Karen hair too.
Literally.
Major Terry Schuster vibes. And then finally, the most important character, thank goodness she was included, Kendra Giardi, is a Maltese / Yorkie mix.
I love it.
Which I love because she's still got the Karen vibes of a Yorkie. Sorry to all the Yorkies out there. But she's like scruffier like Kendra is, you know?
Totally, yeah.
Dang.
Like, she has to battle her three kids, so she's, like,
yeah,
really rough and ready.
Her three freaky ginger kids. It was so hard to force myself to stop, because there really isn't a stopping point to this. Like, there is just a staggering number of characters in the show, and all of them are so distinct and important. I could go on forever with this, but I need to send this email, so I think I need to stop here. Misha, how incredible.
That was awesome. Amazing.
My favorite, as I mentioned, is Sugar Mata is a Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
And Terry Schuster is a Yorkie. Both feel very on brand to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know enough about dogs to say, like, what those breeds' personality types tend to be.
Yeah.
But just going off of looks, I agree.
Absolutely. I feel like also, Misha, you did such a good job at finding specific pictures within the dog breeds that, like, looked like them. And, like, especially those ones, like, like Terry's, like, having a Karen haircut. Oh, my gosh, so cute. That was heaps of fun. I really loved that. That was awesome.
That was great. Now let's do an episode of Glee that's like The Substitute, but instead of everyone turning into their kid versions, everyone turns into their dog versions.
I love it. Ooh. Ooh. Fun. I love it. Awesome. That's your minisode, y'all.
All right. Relative pitch. Here's the songs we got. I Melt With You by Modern English, Memory from Cats, Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. Or Zevin. I actually don't know which it is. Sorry, Warren. Lucky Star by Madonna and Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money.
I want you to sing Lucky Star.
You must be my lucky star. Do I know how it goes after that? Then we're going to skip to the chorus. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. Starlight, star bright, make everything all right. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. Starlight. Stop right. Okay, so my You Must Be My Lucky Star was an A flat to a G flat to a D flat to an E to a G flat. I was so close. I'm a half step flat.
Yeah, really close.
Half step flat. Disgusting. You're using Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money.
Take me home tonight. I don't want to let you go till you see the light. Take me home tonight. Listen, honey, just like I say. Be my little baby. I don't know. I don't know that song very well.
Maybe. Take Me Home Tonight is F, A flat, E, B flat. I found out that the person singing Be My Little Baby is actually Ronnie Spector. Because they say, he says, just like Ronnie said, be my little baby, which is a reference to Be My Baby by the Ronettes. But they actually got Ronnie Spector from the Ronettes to guest on that track and sing Be My Little Baby.
I love that.
Cool, cool.
That's really cool.
Oh my gosh, I'm closer than you. I'm taking this as a win.
Frick.
You're a step flat. I was a half step flat. Wow.
Wow.
Well, you heard it here, everyone. I was on pitch. I was on pitch perfectly. I wasn't flat at all. Thank you for being here. I hope you're enjoying this weather we're having. It's warming up out there. You know, we won't be wearing jackets for long. It's getting nice. It's getting sunny. April showers bring my flowers. Mm-hmm. So I hope you have a great time out there in this sunny April season.
Mm-hmm. I hope you're all wearing sunscreen. We all could use some SPF.
Yeah. And see you in 2 days for the season finale Untitled Rachel Berry Project. If you have thoughts on it, send them to us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Okay. Love you all so much. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up I think in less than a day, with very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chain to the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.